In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. No one likes going to the dentist. At least, no one that I've met. However, there are those times when you must go. There's a sharp pain when you chew. It's the telltale sign of a cavity. So you have to go have it filled. You make the appointment, and it just happens that they can get you in that afternoon. The sooner, the better, right? Get it over with, right? Still, your anxiety goes through the roof as you arrive at the office, are ushered to the back, and wait in the chair for what feels like hours. Finally, the dentist comes in and begins the procedure. First, a pinch as you receive an injection of Novocaine. Then your heart rate spikes, especially when you hear the whining of the drill. But the cavity is being filled, and you know that whatever unpleasantness you're experiencing now is only temporary. Once all is said and done, at least today, the pain will be gone. Both from the procedure and, as is the point of having that cavity filled, when you eat. Jesus said, "But these things I have told you, that when the time comes you may remember that I told you of them." Obviously, he wasn't talking about having a cavity filled. He was talking about the agonizing and unpleasant life that awaited his disciples. What Jesus said to them did happen. And it's a warning you and the whole church needs to heed carefully. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. On the surface, it sounds like Jesus is warning his disciples about persecution from unbelievers, and he certainly is. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Those who do not know Jesus are, to put things simply, unbelievers. And there are many among the ranks of the unbelievers who are threatened by the only true God and those who are his disciples. These will do anything to silence you, some by any means necessary. Legislate against the practice of your religion in the public sphere, desecrating your worship space, burning your church building or homes, even cutting off your head. And in a twist of irony, when they do these things, they'll think that they're offering service to God, whomever that God may be, for he is not the only true God. But that also brings up this point about Jesus' warning. The persecution is not only going to come from unbelievers outside of the church, but also from unbelievers inside the church. We're treading into the realms of visible and invisible church here, dear hearers. To put it concisely, the visible church is the assembly of people that you can see, believers and unbelievers mingled together. By looking at this assembly, you are unable to tell just who is who. All you can go by is what you see and hear, and as far as your senses are concerned, what you see and hear is the church. Therefore, the invisible church would be those among the gathering who are believers, who make no false pretenses about their being there. You're just unable to distinguish them from the unbelievers by your senses. In any event, there may come a time when the unbelievers in your midst will also persecute you. They will put you out of the synagogues, Jesus put it. How will this look? Well, it may begin merely by being shunned by another member. They may begin to gather a following who also conspire against you. And before long, the entire congregation, spurred on by the accusations by the one member or their group, is against you, and you are either unwelcome there or forcibly removed from the congregation. They will all think that they are doing God a service in doing so, especially those who have been led astray. But for the unbeliever, the question remains, to what God? And if you think this couldn't happen to you, or in these Lutheran congregations, the man standing in the pulpit is a witness to it having happened, for it happened to him. For proclaiming the truth and espousing sound doctrine and practice, your pastor was forcibly removed from his previous call. And there were those who were openly said that they were doing it because God wanted it done. And the result of the vote to have him removed was proof of that. Never mind what the scriptures said, but then those few who earnestly desired his removal rarely minded the scriptures anyway. There are men who have gone through this for one reason or another. In the LCMS, over 200 of them are still languishing on candidate status, still suffering the pain, emotional, psychological, and even physical, of having been unscripturally removed without cause from their congregations. There are some who have left the roster for what they perceive as greener pastures elsewhere, and from where they were, those other pastures are certainly greener. There are some who have left the ministry altogether. There are even a few who have taken their own lives because they couldn't bear the burden of what they deemed as a failure. And this says nothing for the trauma that their families have gone through. But this is all exactly what Jesus said would happen. You know the possibility of these things happening to you is real. You know that you may even face certain death for your confession of faith. You professed as much on the day that you confirmed your baptismal vows, stating that you would rather suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith. Still knowing does not lessen or deaden the anxiety, agony, or unpleasantness of both looking forward to it happening when you know persecution is on the horizon, or even as you are undergoing that persecution. Life in a world that hates Jesus is going to be agonizing and unpleasant. That's a fact of, well, life, this fallen life. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise. Jesus didn't come to earth so that you could live your best life now. Jesus did not come to earth so that by believing in him you would be prosperous and successful. There are pits all along the road, and you will fall into them. You will fall into the hands of your enemies. You will be persecuted, hated, mocked, and perhaps even killed because you are a disciple of Jesus. And you will be tempted to deny your faith when it happens. Would you confess Christ while looking down the barrel of the gun of someone telling you to recant? Easier said than done. And I suppose now, without the gun present, you would say yes. This is but an extreme example, though, and still, your life in this world will be hard because you are Christian. And you will be tempted to deny Jesus. Those who tell you otherwise are liars, wolves in sheep's clothing. These will only lead you astray and to your eternal destruction. The God they serve is not the only true God who serves you with all that you need for your eternal salvation. The only true God will give you what you want, what you need for this life, but he will also withhold his hand and let you suffer for your own good, even if that suffering ends in your death. And most of the time, his reason and heavenly wisdom is beyond comprehension and explanation. A look at the lives of the apostles and those in the early church serve as an example. Legend tells of the hard lives the apostles had. All of them but John were killed, And there were attempts at John's life too. Imprisoned, run through with spears, thrown from the temple, poisoned, flayed alive. All for nothing more than believing and teaching Christ crucified. All of them proved that their best life was not in their now, but in the life to come. Nor were their lives entirely prosperous. As St. Paul told of knowing what it was like to be content in weal and in woe. So the trick, as it can be put, is to learn how to be content and joyful in the face of certain persecution. And that, dear hearers, comes only by the way of the Helper. Thank God that Jesus has ascended and sent the Helper so that you can face what is to come in this life with sure and certain confidence in the goodness that awaits you in the life to come. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Then whensoe'er he pleases, I meet death willingly. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee, who dieth thus, dies well. What does the Helper do? He takes from what is of Jesus and gives it to you. He gives you Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on your behalf. And by this, you are given to stand up under this persecution and die well, knowing that by your own death, you have gained eternal life. So it's no trick, but entirely the work of the Holy Spirit to keep you with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, especially over and against the temptation to fall away at the threat of and under the threat of persecution. And what this should teach you is that in those moments of persecution, no matter how small or great, God is not abandoning you, as you may be tempted to think, but that He is with you always, even as He has promised. Therefore, dear hearers, by the aid of the Helper, you can take courage when persecution comes. Jesus promised it, and your fathers in the faith lived it before you. Take Martin Luther, for instance. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. Christ's by our side upon the plain, with His good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. No, you can let the persecution and the agony and the unpleasantness of this life serve as a reminder that you are joined to Christ by holy baptism, who was and always tempted and persecuted as you are, and to the point of death. And you can let it be a reminder of the promise that Jesus has made to you. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And especially this promise: let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Furthermore, the persecution, agony, and any unpleasantness of this life, the hatred of the world, is all temporary. Like the pain at the dentist, the pain and troubles of life will also pass. For most of humanity, there will come a time when you will take your last breath. Then you will be with Christ awaiting the resurrection. On that day, Jesus will return to judge the quick and the dead. And you who have been faithful until death, who have endured temptation, will receive the crown of life. And the end of this life the end of the pain, agony, unpleasantness, and trouble is life everlasting, where all things are new. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The former things have passed away. They were only temporary. Therefore, let the world's hatred of Jesus and you, from unbelievers within and without the church, remind you of the salvation that is yours in coming by way of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This promise is yours and for all who are of the baptized and believe, far and near. For you are members of his church, you are his, and he has forgiven you for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.